the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning.
Joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord. you like the dramatic pause there? Our video technician this morning is like, sorry. But hey, in your bulletin, there's a little 3x5 piece of paper in there.
Half sheet.
5x what? 5x8. Something like that. Y'all fill it out almost every week, right? Everybody fills that out. Put your name on the top. Prayer requests on the back. Turn those in during offering. I know if you all have never filled those out, or at least put a prayer request on the back, every Monday morning, Rennie will send you a text, and he says, hey, we're praying for this prayer request that you mentioned on that sheet. So don't think that you're just filling that out for nothing. Those actually get prayed over, looked at, and mentioned. So those are very important when you fill those out. But let's say good morning to you all this morning. Got a little wet this morning. Got a little bit of rain last night and this morning again. May have another round or two of it this afternoon and maybe this week. But everything's looking green outside. Everything's looking good. Got to do a little yard work myself last night. Enjoying being able to get outside in the warmer weather. We're glad to see all of you this morning. We've had some schools that have let out, some schools that still have another week, and then some schools that still have another several weeks. But we've got a few people out and about traveling this morning. But we're glad that you all decided to come and be a part of our worship service this morning. Also inside your bulletin is this little deal that says Summertime Special Events. This is not just a reminder of what's going on for this summer for you all. It's something that you all can stick on your refrigerator, and whenever you see it, say a little prayer about a cup of cold water that's going to be June 11th, 12th, 14th, and 16th. We do that as an outreach at the park over here. We pass out bottles of water, but we also promote our Vacation Bible School and our Faith, Family, and Fun Day. Vacation Bible School, right around the corner, June 25th through the 28th. There will be a meeting directly following service today in the Fellowship Hall for those of you that are going to be volunteering for that. But that's a reminder. Be in prayer for that. Skipping on down, August 18th, that's Faith, Family, and Fun Day. So this is a good reminder for you to be in prayer throughout the next several weeks on things that are coming up. One thing that did not get printed on this, we actually printed these before this was scheduled, but June 9th, there will be another Pastor's Welcome class. We'll get the times to you 8:45 to noon. So that's June 9th for a Pastor's Welcome class. So keep this handy. This will get you all the schedules for the upcoming events well in advance of where they're going to be. I made mention about the Vacation Bible School meeting directly following service. Amber also wanted me to make mention that she has received monetary donations for our giveaways. Last year, or actually last couple of years, I think we've done some bike giveaways. And we wanted to open that up to everybody. If you would like to donate some money to put towards those bikes that we give away, we give away four bikes, two to kids that go to church here, and then two to kids that are visiting with us. So if you want to help out, donate for that, mark it on your check on the offering how much you would like to put towards that. You can give money straight to the office. You can give it to Amber during the meeting, but we'll make certain that that is all collected for Vacation Bible School. We're also going to try to get that set up online on the church website where those of you that do your online giving, that way you'll be able to donate that way as well. Small groups tonight. The senior ladies that will be meeting on Monday mornings at 10. Their first small group meeting will be June 4th here at the church at 10. If you're not part of a small group, we've got several to choose from. There's no reason why we can't get you all connected and fit into one that you guys will like. So see me, see Pastor, Pastor about those. We've got a lot going on in the next several weeks, so keep these special events cards handy. Visit the website. Everything's up on the calendar on the website as well.
As always, our emphasis for the month is on prayer and fasting, but also in May, the emphasis is on missionary health care. And we know when we send our missionaries overseas, they have enough to deal with. They don't have to deal with not having health insurance or needs when they have a health problem come up. And so all the churches need to help in this endeavor. And with our faith promise giving, we are designated, or we decide a certain amount that we're going to pay. And so then we don't have to take up an offering for that. But if you don't, if you're not a part of faith promise giving and you want to donate some for the missionary health care, you can certainly do that. Just put the check in the offering plate and designate it for missionary health care. The cost of providing insurance for the missionaries is quite high. In fact, it's going up every year, and now it's $1.9 million that it costs to pay the health care insurance and the needs of the missionaries on the field. And they're just continuing to rise every year. But we want our missionaries to be able to go out and work and serve and not have to worry about money should something happen. Nazarene Missions International has helped subsidize some of these funds since as early as 1919. And through the giving, through the Distinguished Service Awards and memorial rolls and those kind of things, they've been able to subsidize this by 23%. And then the remaining 77% of the insurance cost is provided by the World Evangelism Fund. And so that's where our part comes in when we give to the general church. And it also counts as 10% giving. So just remember to pray for the missionaries. Pray for their safety and for their health. And when you think about it, you might just slip a few extra dollars in and mark it for Nazarene health care for our missionaries.
Let me just say this, because there's so many things that are going on and trying to get information to everybody, I'm always thinking of stuff that I forgot. Okay, so you've mentioned the medical missionaries, the funding that we do for that, and one of the things that we do, you heard her mention the memorial roll. Okay, the memorial roll is members of our church that have deceased, and we're able to, for $75 per person, they will give us a certificate that goes out on the wall. You've seen some of those pictures out on the wall, the memorial row. We've fallen a little behind on some of that with everything that's been going on through the Church Health Initiative. But our board has voted to, on the 29th, our goal, here's our goal. You saw on the 29th it was talking about the baptisms and other recognitions. Our goal is to invite the families that are families of those that have deceased here in the last couple of years. We'd like to catch up on those memorial rolls. That's $75 each week. We're pretty sure there's at least 10 people that we need to catch up on. It's about $750. So if you want to contribute something toward that, you can mark it medical missions or memorial roll. $75 will cover a certificate. But we're going to invite those families to come in. We're going to present those memorial rolls that night, we hope, as part of also that baptism celebration. We're going to have a great victory celebration that night. It'll be a fifth Sunday night. It's one of our few corporate Sunday night gatherings, so hope that everybody will plan to come. It's going to be a great service, and we'll look forward to being able to present those certificates and catch up our memorial roll for them.
And also, we have the Distinguished Service Award, and I'm not sure, is it still 100, Gary? That's an offering that is given for a person or a couple that has been outstanding in our church. And that money also goes in as 10% giving. And there's even, I'm not sure anymore if we still have the cards, but there's a way to give, like in a memorial row when someone passes away, kind of like the Gideons. I think it's called, is it Heart to Heart? Is that what that's called? And so that's always neat, too, because you take the flowers out to the cemetery and just a few hours are wilted and gone. But this would live on and on. And it's really nice to give one of those Distinguished Service Awards to somebody that has served faithfully in the church, you know, down through the years. Thank you.
Invite our ushers to come forward at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings, and our children are dismissed to go upstairs and have fun and study the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings today as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of God. Lord, you've been so good. We thank you for the great rain that we had last night, and for the restoration of the grass. And Lord, right now, as we bring our tithes and offerings into your storehouse, we ask your blessings upon them. May they carry the word of God around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Lord, have your way.
Prayer is that that's where you're at in your heart this morning. If you'll be seated for just a moment, there are several things that we need to touch base about as we go into prayer this morning. But first, I want to read a note to you. You know, we oftentimes bring all of these needs and requests, and sometimes we're not as good sometimes as coming back with the praise when good things happen. And so I want to begin this time with a thanks that came from someone who visited recently. Pastor Gary in church, thanks for making me so comfortable in your church on Mother's Day. I enjoyed it so much. It was great to hear Amanda sing a solo and see my daughter and Nathan helping with the music. So now you kind of know where this is going. does a mother good to see her children and grandchildren doing the Lord's work. So good to see friends from years gone by. It was a wonderful day. Thanks and God's blessing, Alice Cherry. So we appreciate Sister Alice coming and being with us. But she took the time to write a note back and say that you ministered to her and you were a blessing to her. And so let me say thank you as a pastor for the way you treat visitors, our guests, the people that are coming into our midst and making them feel welcome. And that indeed is what we want to do, is help them to be able to sense God's presence and to feel welcome and able to focus on worship and not be worried about other things. And there are many things that we need to be praying for today. Obviously, there are things written within your bulletin, but let me put some things out there that you might not be aware of. One, a really major issue that's happened in the Church of the Nazarene just this past week. There was a pastor's conference, 125 pastoral couples in Cuba, Cuban pastors, and they left a great meeting. They left to return home, and one of the planes crashed, and nine or ten, they're trying to confirm the last one, nine or ten Nazarene pastor couples, mom and dad both, were killed. So now there is a district that lost their district secretary, their district treasurer, their district work and witness coordinator, the pastor of the largest church on the district, and all of their wives, and all of those young couples had young children. So their families are orphaned now. And so we need to be sure that we pray for Cuba, for the Nazarene church there, the work that's being accomplished for the loss of these families and for these children. Now, we know that these pastors and their wives, we know where they are. And they're having a better time than we are this morning. But their families have needs, and so we want to remember them in our prayers and in their situation. And then in the course of this last year, as people have visited us and been our guest, when Tom and Tara were here, they brought a young lady with them one Sunday named Diane Foster. She has continued to communicate with me, and Diane Foster just gave birth. They was induced yesterday morning. And they just gave birth to a new baby girl, 6 pounds and 2 ounces and 18 and a half inches long. And so they're a family that has not really hardcore connected, but have kept connection with us. And so we will continue to pray for them and respond to them as they're going through this change and transition. They just moved last week into a different house, and all of this is going on. So be in prayer for them. Then remember Sue Arnold's son, Brian Neunswander, who's having some blood clot issues. Also, I'll be praying. Our sister church in Ozark will install a new pastor, Pastor O.J. Sims, this afternoon. And so that'll be happening, and we want to be in prayer for them as they begin that ministry. And then Judy Groves is home sick this morning. It's good to see Rachel back this morning. Rachel's been battling some sickness and things, and so we're glad that she... girls and their guests are with us this morning, and pray that she continues to improve in her health. And there's a couple situations, and I really here's what I'd like to do, Brother Daryl, if you wouldn't mind, I'd just like for you to come and stand by the between the front seat and this altar right here, and Sister Paula, herself, if you would, I want you to come and stand there in between the altar and Bill, stand just to that side, Daryl. Okay, there you go, right there. And Paula, if you'll stand right there. And then I would like for any of you folks that would be willing just to come and gather around these folks. Brother Daryl has had some surgery on his vocal cords, and they've been working on some cancer, and there's a little bit left, and they don't want to do surgery on it again. They're going to treat it with radiation. He's going to go to the doctor tomorrow, and he's going to find out what that regimen looks like, and we're going to pray that God will touch him. Wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it just be fun if he went to the doctor and the doctor said, Daryl, I know I told you this is there, but it's not there anymore. Wouldn't that be good? So, hey, let's just give it a shot. You know, the sky's the limit. God's capable of doing anything. And so we're going to pray for Daryl's healing. And Paula is facing the deterioration of her eyesight. Some cataracts, some macular degeneration, looking at potential surgery on May the 31st. So I just wonder if there's any of y'all that might like to just come and gather around these folks. And as we pray this morning, we're going to pray about these particular things that are coming up very quickly. I believe God can touch them and help them and bring healing into their life. We want you to know your church family loves you, and we are with you, and so we want to ask God to touch you and to heal you, and so the scripture says to anoint with oil And so, Brother Nate, I'm going to switch over to the wireless, and I'm going to move down front. So I have here some oil. And we kind of like obeying the scripture. Okay? So, Paul, I anoint you this morning. Daryl, I anoint you this morning. Now, I need you to understand this oil doesn't have any power, so we know that. But obedience has power. And the one to whom we obey has power. There's a great God in heaven who's creator and sustainer of the universe, and he made these bodies, and he knows how they work, and he knows what's needed, and he knows how to help us, okay? And so we're going to join our hearts and our minds. Now, I know there's some other extended things going on. And so those of you who've got some other things, family members, some other things that are going on in your lives, you just lay hands on each other. And we're just going to let this prayer go through and get all of us and help us along the way. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus today. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for this church you've given us. We thank you for the body of Christ, the brothers and sisters that you've given to us. We thank you for the work that Jesus did on the cross. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And this indeed is Pentecost Sunday. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost and giving us power and boldness and purity and helping us, Father, to live the holy life. And so, Lord, we thank you for all these gifts that you've given to us. But we also know that the Scripture tells us that Jesus went about healing and doing good. And so, Father, we're asking this day, we're asking for these who are sick and needy, for these who are facing some deterioration. Lord, we know that sin corrupted this old world, and we know that disease exists because of sin, and we know that sometimes those things affect even good people. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus today that as the great physician and as the healer, that you would touch Paula's eyes, and that you'd touch Daryl's throat, and that you'd bless Judy, who's homesick today, and Brian, who's got blood clots, and Tinny and her daughter, kin to Daryl, and Lord, Sister Julie Brooks, and Lord, the list just goes on and on and on. There's a whole list in the bulletin, and Lord, we just lift up all those names to you, and Lord, we believe that you're a healing God. We believe you're a prayer-answering God, and so, Lord, you know the plans that you have for these people's lives, and you know how you wish to glorify yourself through them. Now, Lord, when we surrendered our lives to you and asked you to forgive our sins, we told you could have us and you could do with us whatever you wanted to. Now, we didn't know what that meant. Sometimes we argue with you along the way. But, Lord, if you need to do something in our lives, if you need to show people how God can give us grace through trouble and sickness, Lord, we're still in. You're still our God. We still love you. You're our Savior and Lord. You can do anything you want to us. Just give us the grace and the strength to bear it. But, Lord, we also know that you said you have not because you asked not, and we know that you're capable of healing. And so we're just going to come and ask you for the sky today, Lord Jesus. We want you to touch Brother Darren. We want you to touch Sister Paula. We want you to touch these folks who are listening to our bulletin. Bring healing into their bodies and lives, we pray, in the powerful and the precious name of Jesus. Touch those who are emotionally afflicted today. Bless those, Lord, who need a blessing. Help them if they need finance. Lord, touch this young lady who's had the new baby. And, Lord, we just pray you'd continue to bless and work and in our midst and use this church to win souls and to train people, as you told us to do in the Great Commission, to teach them to observe the things you've commanded. And, Lord, as we prepare to look into your word again today, that's our heart. We want to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to obey your word, and we want to be your people, and we want you to be our God. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. 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 That made me all hot and bothered. I like your shoes, Amanda. Amen. 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 That's right.
give him a praise offering. That's right. Now, how many of you made you mad for Maida to stand up and testify? That's kind of what I thought. Yep. Ellen? Yep. Yep. All right, all right, all right. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, all right. Amen, amen. Well, praise the Lord. This is good stuff, isn't it? This is what's called having church. Now, you can go to church if you want to, but having church is a whole lot more fun. All right. Go right ahead. Okay.
It's called God Still Answers Prayer.
All right.
God is not too busy that He can't reach down and mend a broken heart. And the burdens aren't too heavy that He can't hear a plea of faith. God still answers prayer.
Amen.
God still answers prayer. In His time, He'll work a miracle. He will never fail. Satan has lost the battle. When to our Lord we humbly bow, God still answers prayer. When you feel that life is hopeless and the night has no end, there's hope for your hurting heart. For He'll be there with you no matter what you're going through. God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. And in His time, He'll work a miracle. No, He will never fail. Satan has lost the battle when to our Lord
Amen.
We humbly bow.
Right.
God still answers prayer. Yes, oh Satan, he's lost the battle when to our Lord we humbly bow.
Amen, that's right.
God still answers prayer.
Thank you, sister. Appreciate that. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time. That's what the Lord brings us together for. So I hope you'll take advantage of your small groups. And those of you who maybe haven't plugged into a small group yet, why, we'll be glad to help you do that. And they meet on the first and third Sunday nights. And and I'm looking forward to July 29th and baptisms and hopefully getting all this the money needed together to do the memorial rolls and invite these families. Some of them will be inviting them back. Some of them, it was their family members that went here and they go other places. And so we're going to invite them. And that's where the Sunday night helps us a little bit because we don't want to take people away from their church on Sunday morning if we can keep from it. This preacher likes you to be here, so I know their pastor likes them to be there. And so we'll do our best to work with everyone on these things. We are in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. And the way this service has gone this morning fits very well into the things that I believe Jesus wants to teach us from his word this morning in verses 25 through 34 of Matthew chapter 6. Let's enjoy it together. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? That's worthy of a second shot. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I love music. And so I think in musical terms a lot. Musical titles, songs that come to my mind. And the truth of the matter is, I have not exclusively listened to gospel music, although that's probably my number one. But I am aware of some other titles. And they say that music is the universal language. So songs, you know, there are songs that are popular in our country and they go across the seas. And obviously the British invasion of the 60s proved that there were songs overseas that indeed came here and were popular and made people a lot of money and a lot of fame and all those kinds of things. And they didn't necessarily manage it well, didn't necessarily give glory to God. But the bottom line is they were songs that that were well known. And you would be amazed. You would be amazed at how many songs are written about worry. Now, I got to tell you. Of course, we're all victims of our environments and our experiences and those kinds of things. So the first thing that came to my mind, and I think you can understand this, is when I'm reading this scripture, and I'm saying, "Oh Lord, what do you want me to say to the people this week?" And the first words that are here in verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." So the first thing that came to my mind was "Don't Worry, Baby" by the Beach Boys. Now, I'm not sure that song is about God. But, you know, I got to thinking, people do worry occasionally. And so I started kind of looking up some songs. And, you know, there's songs through the course of time that's "Don't Worry, Baby." And then there's Stevie Wonder's "Don't You Worry About a Thing." And then there's the Worry song by Joe Walsh. And then, you know, Bobby McFerrin had "Don't Worry, Be Happy." And then there's a song, you know, "The Age of Worry," that was done by John Mayer. And then there was another song that's called "Worry Is All I Can Do." I know some people like that. But even back in the big band days, there were songs. Count Basie had a song about worry. And so, you know, the thing of it is, you don't have time for me to list all the songs that talk about worrying. The truth of the matter is, that'd be a waste of time, just like worrying. Now, I know where you're going before I get through this, because I live in some of this too. You know, what you're going to do now is you're going to begin to rationalize and justify the difference between worrying and being concerned. Get over yourself. Because we need to hear what the Word of God is saying to us. We have a three-word command from the Almighty God. Do not worry. So, I'm guessing that you want to be obedient people. And you want to, you know, how many of you want to do the will of God? And how many of you want to obey the Word of God? Really. Do not worry. I'm serious. I'm talking to me too. You know, your kids get to where they spend their first night away from home, or they get their driver's license and drive solo for the first time, or they take a trip, or they decide to go to college, or they decide to get married, or any of these things that move them further away from you and more into somebody else's life and those kind of things. At some point, we have to remember, did we or did we not teach them the right stuff? And teaching the right stuff is no guarantee they're going to do the right stuff, but it's a guarantee that they know the right stuff, which is a big help. The definition of worry in one of our English dictionaries is to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulty or trouble, a state of uncertainty or unease over actual or potential problems. I don't know how they conducted this survey. It's baffled me. I've known it for years. And I've quoted this for years, so some of you have heard this. You heard me say this many times. But I literally read a scientific survey that said 92% of the things that we worry about never happen. What a waste of time. Now you laugh, but you probably ought to be crying. Because you're always griping about not having enough time. You don't have time to do this. You don't have time to do that. You can't serve Jesus. You can't do that. We don't have time. I got to do this. Because we worry about stuff that maybe isn't in the right place in our list of priorities. I read just this past week something that you already know. So I'm just reminding you. Worry can negatively affect your appetite, your lifestyle habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance. So stop it! Do not worry. Do not worry. How hard is it to interpret this? Do we need a linguistics person to come in and help us understand? Do not worry. Quit making up stuff and scaring your kids and your family to death over stuff that's not going to happen and isn't of God. I'm so afraid. So afraid. It might happen. It could happen. Maybe it should happen. Worry can lead to destructive behaviors. Drives people towards drugs and alcohol. It creates physical illness. Just a simple partial list of the result of worry. Difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, twitching, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss, heart attack, ulcers, depression, and then suicide. Keep right on worrying. We say we want to live. We say we want to live life more abundantly. And then we sit around and worry. 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 I'm thinking God's doing this a lot. I had to tell them. Philippians, it's not like he just says this in one place. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything. You know what that means? Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Daryl was talking to me before service this morning in my office, and he was talking to me, and he was telling me these things that are, he's going to this doctor appointment, and they're going to tell him, da, 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 da. But he said, but I have Jesus. Good philosophy. Good thinking. No matter what comes, I have Jesus. No matter what struggles, no matter what problems, no matter what issues, I'm not going to get bound up and I'm not going to let the devil cripple me with worrying over stuff I don't even know what to fix or what to do about it. I'm just going to give it to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 gives us a directive. Cast all your anxiety, worry, on Him because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So here's this whole logic thing. If I'm worrying, what am I not doing? He cares for me. So if I'm worrying, what am I not doing? I am not giving the things I'm anxious about to Him. How many of you believe that God is smarter than you? And how many of you believe that God is smarter than me? Okay. So why do we want to pack all this stuff around and try to figure it out ourselves? Trying to prove something to God? I can remember as a young Christian, I literally kind of thought this in my prayer life. I was kind of like, okay, God, you've really been helping me. Watch me. I'm stronger now. Watch me. The second you leave God out of the equation, you're a loser. The devil will beat you up. You can't beat the devil. God beats the devil. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6 give us direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. And we were to give Bibles to our... We have two graduating seniors that are connected to the church. Neither of them could be here this morning as it ended up. I think that's the enemy's plan. Makes me mad. Not at them, at the enemy. We fight not against flesh and blood. Our deal's not with people. Our deal's with the enemy that controls sometimes their decisions. He doesn't want us to pray for those young people. He doesn't want us to give those young people the Word of God to take with them when they go to college. He doesn't want those things to happen, so He tries to block them. Well, where there's a will, there's a way. We'll get this figured out. We'll get these Bibles in their hands. And we will continue to pray for Joe and for Alyssa that God will not let them go without running into them everywhere they go. Verse 27 of our text. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? How many times have you responded to worry only to find out you didn't even have to make a response because what you were worrying about didn't take place? But you got yourself all worked up and lathered over stuff that you were afraid was going to happen, you thought was going to happen. You even changed circumstances and situations to try to negate it happening when it wasn't even happening. As I have said before, what a waste of time. So, he says to us, don't do this. Okay? How many of you believe, just this far into the message, believe that the Word of God tells you not to worry. How many of you believe that? Okay? So how many of you are going to stop worrying? That's right, you're going to try. And that's a good start. For those of you, let me make you really mad and decide you want a different pastor. For those of you who refuse to let it go, and you're going to hang on to it, can I tell you, you're defying God. You're spitting in God's eye and saying, I will not listen to you. Because God said, do not worry. We're human beings. We're weak. We're frail. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's in a book I read somewhere. God understands without his help, we're not going to get this done. So, that brings us to the solution to the problem, which is written in the passage. Seek first the kingdom. Okay. There is a double meaning here. Seek first the kingdom. The kingdom of God. I spent most of my life reading this verse thinking only of heaven. Seek. You know, I want to get to heaven. So what do I got to do to get to heaven? And that's not a bad context. But to more specifically bring it into your present life, here's what you need to understand. The kingdom of God is the place where God is in authority. I.e. heaven. Scripture says the angels do his bidding, right? Everything in heaven goes the way God wants it to. You're on earth. As professing Christians striving to live right, we don't even get everything the way God wants it to be sometimes because we worry. How much nicer place would your world be if you didn't worry? How much easier would it be on you and everybody around you if you didn't worry? What if we were just proactive? What if we just said, here's a situation that needs a solution, so I'm going to think through this, God's going to help me, and I'm going to take positive action. How much better would that be? Bill, you're military. How much good does it do for a bunch of guys to get in conflict, be buried in holes in the ground with live rifles in their hands with ammunition in them, and be thinking, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do? Called training. We're trained to work under pressure, under stress in a given situation when my body and my mind are doing those freaky kind of things that if I hadn't had some training, I wouldn't know what to do. But we train them before we put them in those situations so that in conflict situations, they are able to defeat the enemy because they keep their head. What would happen if a bunch of guys in foxholes wanted to find the foxhole that the commander was in so they could tell him that they're a little afraid? Instead of doing their job. The kingdom is where things are under God's authority. The kingdom is where there is devotion, not distraction. The enemy's job is to distract you with worry, so that you're thinking about all kinds of stuff that might happen. But 92% of the things that you're thinking about won't happen. What if we just trusted God to start out with? What if we just listened to the one who had things like this recorded about our relationship with him? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. What if you believe that? If you believe that, wouldn't it change how you respond to certain stimulus? If somebody comes and tells you a fib about somebody else that changes how you think they feel about you, Wouldn't it be best if you just kind of talked to them to see if they really thought that? Instead of you worrying over a bunch of stuff and starting to make plans and take actions that are based on third-party gossip? Instead of just saying, I understand that there may be a rift between you and me, can we resolve it? The worst days of my life have come because I kept praying about something, hoping it would get better by itself, instead of giving the proper attention to it and just saying, friend, I love you. I understand that there may be something between us. Let's fix it. Running away from it, waiting for it to fix itself. I'm just telling you, personal experience, not a good plan. And then listen to some of the things that Jesus said. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Then Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? We're talking about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. And again he said, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. So the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and the kingdom of God is like leaven. And what it's talking about here is externally, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, because the mustard seed is one of, not the smallest, but one of the smallest seeds of the herb family. When you plant a mustard seed, you know what it becomes? A mustard tree, which is by far and away the largest of all herbs. So exponentially, when we put God in charge of a situation, when the kingdom of God takes over, things that are really small can become great. How many of you cook and have any idea what leaven is for and what happens when leaven spreads through something? It rises to the occasion. It's talking about the presence of God in our life. When God is in authority in our lives and He permeates every aspect of our life, we can rise to the occasion. But when you're holding God in place and you're keeping Him out of crevices and corners and things, and you're taking on all this stuff, and you're trying to, what's happening is simply this. You're trying to handle it within your own power and your own wisdom. You're not giving it to God and saying, there's some stuff I haven't thought of yet, but God already knows everything, so I can give it to Him and then let Him direct me. That's what should be happening. It's not that you're not going to do anything. It's just that you're going to stop long enough to get past anxiety that keeps you from thinking all the way through anyway. And you're going to outsource to God for Him to feed information in, direct you from the inside out, and move you to where you ought to be. Seek first His kingdom. That's where God is in ultimate control. And His righteousness. Righteousness is being filled with and operating in the Spirit and character of God. When God is in control, we are in right relationship to Him. When we are in His kingdom, when we seek His kingdom, His authority is being in right relationship to Him. Righteousness is His Spirit in us, right, making right actions toward others. So kingdom authority is about us and God. Righteousness is about God working through us into the lives of others. Listen to just a few passages. Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Hit me with it, Justin, because I didn't mark it. This will be faster, I think. And if we are called to obey all this law before the Lord our God as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. The call to obey. The fulfillment of the call to obey. The fact that we are obeying what God has written in His book. That is righteous. Abraham's obedience in the Old Testament was considered as righteousness. And then listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 10. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? Christ's. Our righteousness is His filthy rags. We have no righteousness of our own. It's about the righteousness of Christ imparted into our lives and us being a vessel for His use. Just a few chapters later in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, because when the kingdom of God comes, when God is in authority, His character goes through us. We receive His character when we put Him in charge. What did Jesus teach us to pray earlier in the Sermon on the Mount that we've already studied? What did He teach us to pray? Lord, want Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God. We're bringing heaven to earth. God is in authority. We do things God's way. We do what God wants. This life, this life is not you get forgiven, you keep on living crazy, and then eventually you get to heaven and you'll get better. That is not how God intended it to be. God intended to save you from your sin, fill you with His Spirit, you die, and His character lives through His Spirit in you, and the world sees Jesus and not you, and you act a lot differently. And then they want Him. They want to have a relationship with Jesus because they see how He's working in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Real simple. You don't even have to remember any of the other stuff. Remember this. Do not worry. That's your command. Do not worry. When you're worrying, you're not trusting God. Didn't you have to trust God to get saved? So why don't you just continue to trust God? If God can forgive you your sins and get you out of hell, you think He can't handle your stuff here? Come on now. That's why it's a kingdom authority issue, because the deal is you don't want to turn loose of your life. You want to control your own life. You want to run your own show. You want an escape hatch from hell, but you want to run your life. That's called carnality. And what Jesus came to do, according to Hebrews 13:12, was He came to make the people holy, which is not only to forgive their sins, but to do away with the root of sin, the power of sin in their lives, so that Jesus is Lord of all. If you're worrying, Jesus isn't Lord. Not of all. There may be some things you've surrendered, and I realize there's growth in grace. I don't want to de-Christianize anyone this morning. That's not my goal. But my goal is to remind us the very faith that causes us to believe that Jesus can forgive our sin is only the faith it takes for us to handle all the stuff that the devil's going to hit us with in this life. You already have the faith. You already have the trust. You just got to quit trying to handle things on your own and show God what you can do. God's not, you got, get this through your head. God is not impressed with us. I'm sorry. He loves us unconditionally. He's proud of us because we're His children, His creation. But just like you, when you go to the school program and your kid's a starring role, and you say, oh, that's my kid up on the stage, and then they call you later about 5 years and say, your kid vandalized the school building. You say, oh, what kid? That's not my kid. Just trust God. But you don't stop loving that kid. You never stop loving your kids. It doesn't matter what they do, or how stupid it was, or how it wasn't what you taught them. And it wasn't what you wanted or asked for. It doesn't matter. you still love them. You know where you learned that? Your Heavenly Father. But your choices handcuff your Heavenly Father, just like your kids' choices handcuff you. You'd love to help your kids get it right every time. They don't listen to you. And you have to let them go through the pain. And the truth of the matter is, if you try to keep them from any pain, you're going to hurt them more than you're going to help them. Because then they think somebody's always going to cover their tail and then have to take responsibility or accountability for anything. And I'm telling you, that'll send them straight to hell. And as adults, God's saying to us, I taught you all the right stuff. I gave you the manual. Just read it and do it. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Do not worry. It's a crazy world we live in. It's corrupted by sin. And I realize that there are mental deficiencies of some kind. There's dysfunction of some kind nearly everywhere you look. And sometimes people have anxiety attacks and they deal with anxiety issues that are literally almost virtually beyond their control. But here's what I believe. The God who created these bodies, there hadn't been a disease yet God can't cure. And when we can relax and place our trust in God, there's not any deficiency He can't fix, He can't overcome, that He can't deal with. Okay? So I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm not saying don't take a medication. But what I'm saying is put your trust first and foremost where it really needs to go. He's got all kinds of methods after the fact. But first and foremost, you put your life in God's hands. And then you trust Him. You become dependent upon Him. And you trust Him to take care of you. Because what He's really saying is, you don't have to worry. I love you. And I'll take care of you. But here's the deal. In order to not worry, you have to turn loose of the responsibility for your life. You have to depend on me. It's the proverbial, Bill, stand up here. Okay, look that way. Okay, Bill, fall backwards. You got to trust they're going to be there. You know? Kind of like the guy hanging on the cliff. He slipped over the edge of the cliff. He got a hold of a vine. There's clouds. He hears this voice saying, let go. Let go. Can you move the clouds or can I get a second opinion? We want visibility. God wants trust. God wants trust. Find somebody who's really trusted God that will ever tell you He didn't come through. Now, there'll be plenty of people tell you they didn't get what they wanted the way they wanted it, when they wanted it. Don't confuse that with God not coming through. Okay? Because that means you're naming the time and the place again. It's not what it's about. It's about us giving it to God and letting Him work it out. Messages from the Mount, the teachings of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, He loves you and He has your back. Trust Him. Stand with me. Father, there's not one of us here that if we're honest with ourselves, there's not one of us here who can say we haven't ever worried about something. We haven't ever been anxious about something. Lord, and I realize that concern can be a positive thing and caution can help us to be protected. And so all those things, we get that. But Lord, would you keep us from the stuff that cripples us? Would you keep us from the stuff that causes us not to move forward in your footsteps and not follow your direction? And Lord, would you help us to quit wasting your time in our lives? And help us to consult you. Lord, we need you. We love you. There's no question. There's not anybody here who doesn't. they wouldn't be here if they didn't want God. So, Lord, we're not here to belittle anybody. We're not here to put anybody down. We're not here to de-Christianize anybody. What we're here to do this morning is to remind us and to challenge us that in those moments that we take something on that we can't control and we try to force situations and we get all worked up, that, Lord, we're not listening to you. We just want to learn as your children to trust you 100% of the time. Help us in our weakness. Just like on the day of Pentecost, on this Pentecost Sunday, just like on the day of Pentecost when you came into those men and women's lives and gave them boldness, filled them with your Spirit, Lord, would you fill us afresh and anew today with your Holy Spirit and strengthen us to overcome all of the things that beset us on this earth. Lord, if there's anyone here that senses your tug and your pull, would they just right where they stand, Lord, just have them to pray a prayer of confession. Lord, I've not been trusting you. Lord, I've been trying to handle things myself. Lord, I've been trying to find answers myself. Lord, forgive me and help me to trust you. Help me to read your word and to pray and to seek your guidance and your direction. Lord, you said to us in Jeremiah, I think I intended to read this and I didn't, so let me read it to you. We're praying a closing prayer here. Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. That's what we're doing. And here's what God said to them, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me. That means no holding back, no cracks or crevices, no hidden closets. Surrender it all to God. We've been singing about that all morning. I surrender all. Would you just tell him right now and mean it that you want to surrender all of your life to him? You want him to have charge of every area. And then, Father, we pray that you would bless and equip these people with your Holy Spirit for guidance and direction. And empower them with the power of Pentecost to go out and change their world. Where two or three are agreed, it's bound in heaven. And so all God's people said,